Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Greetings. This is Sister Seven. I am so tickled to be making it to this point of the day. Everyone knows that we are deep into devotion, and we are struggling. And it's so funny because everybody's struggle is not the same. It's been so interesting. I speak to 4 or 5 of us every day where I just reach out randomly. Hey, you know, Spirit will say, reach out to this one, see how this one's doing, whatever. And so I go through and I call, and this devotion is doing what devotions do, which is be challenging. And but we are really coasting through. We are at, I think it's day 18. I think we just got finished with day 18. 18 days of putting God first. 18 days of curtailing things that we don't need in our life. You know, whether you're doing a full food fast, whether you are just eliminating some bad habits, whether you are increasing some good habits. We're right-sizing our life right now. We're trying to put things in proper perspective, and negativity just can't stand it. So we're finding negativity is on the attack. They are trying so hard to get us off task. So I have to encourage all the wonderful approach people, all the Mother Eagle ministry people, all of us, really, really hold tight to your prayers, hold tight to those goals that we established when we first went into our devotion, and, you know, really allow yourself to see the incredible victory that you can have over some of these challenges. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I know that there are good things on the horizon, and I love to see it. I really do. I want to welcome everybody to the radio program. This is definitely a crown jewel, in my opinion. This is where we get together and we share. And the reason why it's so important to share is because everyone has their own little gift that they bring to the universe. You know, God made each of us for our own special purpose, and the purposes are intertwined. And so I love it when we all come together to teach and to share, because what that's going to do is allow your gifts to come forward and allow everyone, not especially me, but including me, but it allows everyone the opportunity to learn. You know, certain things, and everyone has strengths, okay? That, you know, I have my own little strengths and things that I can do very well, and then there's certain things I'm like, don't even bring that over here. I'm not even going to try. So that's why, you know, we have to all come together, because the very thing that I could be strong in might be of great help to you. And then and vice versa. You know, we're going to all take turns being the teachers and the students. So it's a wonderful event, idea, platform, group. You know, it's really a blessing to come together like this. So, and I want to thank everybody that does make sacrifices out of their time to come together. Come together and share. You know, let your voice be heard in the positive. You know, allow the lessons that we all have to grow to come forward, because no matter what, we got to learn. We have to grow. We're supposed to evolve. You know, this is part of our destiny piece. So, we're here in the middle of it. We're going to bring on Mama Khadija to share with us. We have the pleasure of having eldership with us, you know. And the reason why it's such I make such a big deal out of it is because, one, it is a big deal. And then, two, when we're talking about learning, when we're talking about really getting the benefit of the knowledge that we already have, okay, no need to recreate the wheel. Let's stop what we're doing and get the knowledge. Let's build, let's grow. So let's see if I can grab Mama Khadija so she can share with us, as she can pour into us as we turn around and pour into others, okay? Hold on, let's see. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Greetings, Seven. Greetings, family. We all got our gift this morning. We got our present.
Yes.
Another day, a whole day, a whole 24 hours, and then some, if we're lucky, and not really lucky, if we're blessed, to learn those lessons and to receive those blessings. So I am grateful to be here today on this earth. I am grateful to be a part of a wonderful Approach Blog Talk radio program, and I am looking forward to learning a lot and sharing a little tonight. We've had beautiful, beautiful weather here in Georgia. I think it reached the 90 today. I like that, and it's going to be hot all the way up until the week. So we've been blessed. We've been blessed.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
would you like to share
Seven,
with us? I was going to ask, would you like to share with us last week's show? Okay, good. Please.
Last week's show, let's do a recap. It was awesome. We covered the topic blessings, okay, not to be confused with luck. And I even have to correct myself sometimes where luck is concerned, good luck, and, you know, if I'm lucky and whatever. No, if I'm blessed. Blessings, not to be confused with luck. But you know what, Seven? Last week we did not use the word good fortune. I don't think that came up at all last week. And I was doing some thinking on that just tonight. And, you know, I believe that good fortune is what folks today call favor. We talked about the attitude of gratitude. And that attitude of gratitude determines what you see as a blessing. But we also went into how take that breath in the morning, opening up your eyes, being able to stand up and walk to the bathroom or whatever it is that you do in the morning, make your morning devotions. All of that is a blessing. All blessings, big and small, even those in the middle, should be acknowledged by us. Should be acknowledged, and that acknowledgement I will call prayer. And it should be acknowledged throughout the day. And we can't cover everything there, or we would really never, you know, get much else done, because there's so much that we have to acknowledge, or that we should acknowledge, giving thanks to the Almighty for all the wonderful things that we have access to and that we have been blessed with. And when I think about that show last week, I think about my travels to developing countries and what we would consider snack or a basic meal. It's a blessing. You know, in this country, we might feel that, well, it's not really what I want. It's not seasoned, whatever. But we can't ever forget there are many, many people living in abject poverty in other places around the world that don't even have clean water, don't have, you know, a morsel of food, don't have rice, you know, basic kinds of things. And I also thought about when I was a child, we called the prayer before we ate the blessing. You know, who's going to say the blessing? And that was just our way of acknowledging, you know, God for the food that we have, asking that He bless that food and that He allow it to nourish our body and mind and our spirit, and bless the provider of the food as well as the cook. And we can't move away from that, family. Too often I'm around people that, you know, get their food and they just dig right in, you know, and we, not only is it a blessing of that nature, but it's also an effort to put protection around your food, especially when you're from strange hands. When you're in that restaurant and you're eating from something, you don't need to cook. You don't even know to cook. You don't know what they believe in, what their practices are. You don't even know if their hands are clean. So you're also putting protection for what you're putting into your body, asking God to put that protection on you so that, you know, it's going to truly be a blessing. So let's not move away from that whole simple blessing. I think the what I call the good night prayers and the blessings at the table were probably some of the earliest prayers that children learn to make. And over the years, you know, as the young people become adolescents and teenagers and young adults, a lot of times they forget that, and by the time they get to be adults, they just, you know, hey, I'm eating this food, you know. But we talked about, you know, gratitude and how that's tied into blessings. It's also tied into our perception of what a blessing actually is. We had many callers last week that shared their ideas about blessings, and it was just an awesome show. So what was your take on, you know, what did you take away from that show last week, Seven?
Oh, I always take away the little nuggets of information, because I tell people pen and paper, because you never know where it's going to come from. I was very, of course, by the time I get to this part of the day, I say it all the time, but I don't think it's people understand. I am so relieved. I am like, yes, I've made it through. I've gotten my journaling done. I've gotten my prayers done. I've gotten my shrine work done. I had two or three offerings to get done. I had phone calls. I've done so much. And by the time I get to this point, I am usually overflowing with gratitude, with thanks, with praise, with all of that. And so, you know, for me, it was just a confirmation as to, you know, where everybody is and what we're doing, and how we can all work together to maintain, you know, this high level of positivity. You know, that's the purpose of the whole program, is to keep everyone thinking together, collective, for each other, with each other. So I was totally, thrilled to have the show come forward, to have it be positive, to have the many people say, okay, no, let's stop and spend some time learning about this. How do we grow from here? Where do we go from here? So, and then in the middle of devotions too, you know, you have to fight your bed during devotions. And so when I see people up here taking the time out, you know, not, you know, letting it be dinner theater if you want to, but, you know, really just spending the time working with each other, I feel so wonderful and proud and everything else like that. So it was an absolute wonder of a show. I am so pleased by it all the time. All the time.
Yeah,
all the
I have feeling blessed. Blessed that I have been able to input and take away from, you know, take away in a good sense, you know, learn something and offer some insight or whatever when it comes to those blessings.
That's right.
And just
that's right.
People see that we're constantly being blessed. We are constantly receiving blessings. Every second of the day.
And I think I was like, oh, this is going to turn into a testimony hour. And you were like, that's good. That is good. Let it turn into the testimony hour, because we need to know and be able to share in everyone's, you know, good graces, you know. And that's something that we need to get more into the habit of. You know, when we're out in public, me and my little ones, you know, or if we have a guest with us or whatever, we'll stop and make prayer before we eat. And there are certain people, there are people that will come up afterwards and be like, you know, God bless you. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll take it. Thank you. You know, But, you know, that having that prayer put back in even common places like, you know, restaurants or, you know, it's so important. You know, children don't know prayer anymore because you're not taught that even at young, young ages. They took prayer out of school. So even if you didn't have it in your home, there was a moment of silence or a prayer at school. That's no longer there. So we have to find ways, just like they have found ways to take prayer out of some key places, we have to find ways to put prayer back into some key places. Don't be afraid to have your blessings heard. And that's what we were doing last week. And, of course, it's always a blessing to be able to share, you know, like I said, this whole platform, everything about what we do on Wednesday nights is about that gratitude, the attitude of gratitude, and sharing our blessings of information, guidance, whatever, with whoever needs it. So I love those reminder opportunities. And then this week is no different. I absolutely, this is one of my favorite topics. You know, I have a couple of them that, you know, and I'm trying not to get be too long-winded. Mom, please, I can move forward. You're good?
I'm good.
Okay. This is one of my favorite topics about being obedient to God. This is so important, family. This is so important. And this came, you know, I love sharing the origin stories. You know, this came through a conversation me and Mama Kanish were having, and we were having this conversation about faith. We were having a conversation, and the conversation from faith went from faith to trust. And then, you know, Mama Kanish said, well, where you don't have your faith and where you don't have your trust, do you have your obedience? Because if you have your obedience, if you know no matter what, like it or not, agree or not, I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, then that solves the rest of the question. And it sat with me, and I was like, okay, let's think about this. You know, let's really try to wrap our hands around the simplicity and the very human difficulties that obedience can bring. Being obedient is not difficult because we are human and we have our human ideas, thoughts, opinions. We get to thinking about free will. We get to saying, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to tweak it a little bit, thinking that we know more, but we don't. And so, I really wrestled with the idea of how do you teach obedience? You know, I know for me, the best thing for me is example. I'm like, I have to be that example. And it's not, I've been an example all my life because I have younger sisters. And growing up, I've always heard, you know, set a good example for your sisters. Set a good example, you know, for those that are watching you. I mean, I used to think I was, like, something, like, really special, you know, because I was like, well, I have to do it because I have to set the example. And I remember being very young with that understanding that it will be, you know, it'll be me that will that people will look at and they're going to follow and make sure you're doing the right thing because people are going to do what you do, not necessarily do what you say. And so, and this was, I mean, as young as I can remember, I have heard set the example. And I knew what that meant. That meant, you know, when you're told something, do it. Be respectful. You know, just be something that someone can model good behavior or good whatever after. So when it comes to this obedience piece, not a problem. I'm like, okay, because I always was thinking about the next person. Always thinking about, you know, this isn't difficult for me, but it might be like rocket science for somebody else. Let me do this the right way. Let me make sure that what I'm leaving is a positive, is positive enough for someone else to look at. And so that obedience to God is real. And it the world will make you think that it's hard to do, but it's really not. I'll give you a hint. If you can be obedient to God, that really is the answer to all of the rest of the questions. It takes away a lot of the confusion, a lot of the hurt, a lot of the hard lessons. I mean, it really reduces your trauma, because sometimes life will have you thinking that we have trauma down here, you know. But being obedient when you are doing what you know God wants you to do, it really does answer a lot of questions for you. I had the pleasure of meeting a priest of Eshu, and he said some words that I haven't been able to shake maybe a month ago. He said, when I learned this, it answered all the questions that I had about myself. I said, about yourself? And I sat there and I was like, how many of us are missing pieces of information about our own self, about why we do this, why we do that? And if we could just be obedient, even whether you understand it or not, and get the information or get past this one little hurdle, then you get the reward. And sometimes the reward is just understanding. You know, sometimes the reward is, you know, something that might be like monumental for you, but everybody else will be like, yeah, so what? You know, it's nice, but, you know. So when I think about obedience, I think about reward too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to interject something here, Seven, because I think
Please.
I heard you say that being obedient is not difficult. Well,
no,
I've lived a little bit longer. Okay. Is that what you said, that it's not difficult?
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah. It's not difficult. The world makes you think it is, but it ain't.
Okay. Okay. And the problem, we're living in the world. You know,
live in this world,
I think that, yeah, I think that obedience is difficult. I think that it's a constant struggle, and I think that we as humans struggle against compliance and obedience versus, you know, doing our own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you
mm-hmm.
had, in hindsight, you'll say, oh, wow, the easiest
yes.
thing, the best thing to do, the best thing to do would have been
listen.
To be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy to make that decision. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's why it takes a lifetime, you know, many years on this earth plane to really call yourself an obedient servant or an obedient person. It takes a lifetime. And
okay.
the way that most people learn obedience is through the consequences of not being obedient. You know, it's just like as children.
Mm-hmm.
As children, you learn, okay, your mother might say, don't touch that stove, it's hot. And I'm not just talking about babies. I'm talking about even, you know, smaller children, you know, not necessarily adolescents either, 7, 8 years old, and they see mom at the stove cooking, so they want to get up to the stove and don't touch it, it's hot. And how does that child, now some children are going to say, she said that in a tone of voice that let me know not to do it. Other children, they still want to touch that fire. They're going to touch that hot plate or whatever it is, but after they've gotten burned, they'll know not to. So a lot
mm-hmm.
of our lessons in obedience come through the consequences. And that
mm-hmm.
is, I remember one of the very shows that we did,
yes.
my sister was talking about her learning
Getting
style.
Ahead. Yes.
Her style. Now, She's a grown woman. She's not an adolescent. She's not a toddler. But to this day, she says that her learning style is getting, you know, hit over the head, you know. So she's still
I know quite a few people that confess to that. Yes.
So they got to get hit over the head. Now, usually by the time you reach a certain level of maturity, you don't have to get that hit over the head to learn. You know, you can learn through a whisper or a tap on the shoulder or, you know, reading a book.
Put mine in a book.
Talk to.
Put mine in a book, please.
So that's, you know, that obedience piece is not in this world. It's not easy. It's not easy. And we have so many things against us, you know, like the glitter and the sparkle and the shine of not being obedient, you know. You have a young person that has an opportunity to work at a minimum wage job, but of course they have big dreams, and all young, well, hopefully a lot of young people have those big dreams. I'm hoping that that hasn't been taken away from us. But they have these big dreams, and a minimum wage job is not going to fulfill those dreams. They're not going to be able to get that, you know, fast car and the nice clothes and the $300 tennis shoes and all that stuff with the minimum wage job. So here comes a negative soul that approaches them about doing something that's illegal, that's going to get them what they want. It'll get them what they don't want as well. And that's what a lot of young people don't realize. But with all, like, I brought that point up to say that with all of the glitter and the glitz of not necessarily being obedient, then it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It can be very, very difficult.
Yes. It is. It can be a challenge, but that's just because where we are. And it seems like everybody else is doing it that way, you know.
And I want to pose a question to you and to some of our listeners. What happens, you talk about being obedient to God, what happens when man's law and rules contradict God's laws and rules? You know, a prime example of this is the allowance of, in certain traditions, polygamy, where man can have more than one wife. And that's done for the world in many traditions. And do you follow God's law, or do you follow the law of the land? Because, I mean, I know several polygamous families, households, and they're following their tradition, but it is illegal in many societies, and definitely here in America. So I feel that, you know, along with having the holy books to guide us, the prophets, the teachers, I think that God has also given us an internal knowing of right and wrong. And that's where discernment come into play. We cannot underestimate the strength, the power, and the value of discernment and wisdom in our lives. And then you also have, when you talk about obedience to God, you know, it depends on what tradition you're following. In certain traditions, something may be taboo, but it may be allowed in another tradition. So is that person being obedient or compliant, or are they just, you know, should be banished to hell, or what, you know? And then also, you also have people that are partners or brothers and sisters in the same faith. And you may be a little over to the left, and your brother or sister in faith may be a little bit over to the right due to say some interpretation of the same issue.
Right. Correct.
So where does the obedience piece come in? You know, I just believe in playing it safe when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of people are trying to take that middle road or trying to play it safe, you know, adhere to the Ten Commandments, you know.
Right, right.
Follow what's in your holy book.
Right.
You know, follow the example of the teachers, the holy teachers and the prophets, and
right.
follow the golden rule. But that, even that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's a lot. It is a whole lot. It's a whole lot. And I'm laughing because I've had this argument with Brother Ibrahim many, many, many times. Because he'll say, Anna Delil, he'll say, where's your proof? Okay? Because in my culture, I don't know what you're talking about. We won't do it that way. So why does your belief and your set of ideas, principles, rank higher than my ideas and principles? And so we will go back and forth, and I'm like, look, there are some standards that God has set. These standards are in all religions and cultures. They are the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Now, certain religions will break it down. Thou shalt not kill every day except on Tuesday. Certain religions will sit down and they will add more information. But generally, those Ten Commandments can be found in just about every culture, whether they call them commandments, pillars, patakis, no matter what they call them, they exist in that religion for a reason, you know. And so as spiritualists, you know, there are certain God principles, and we're talking about obedience here. We're talking about being obedient. There are certain God principles that we can say, hey, look, God doesn't let the Jews do this, the Christians, nor the Muslims, okay? He don't let the Moors do it. That no, God has not allowed anybody to do this. So we can pretty much say this is a universal spiritual rule, okay? No killing people, all right? So, but, you know, there are people that would still like to split hairs, and I'm like, don't split no hairs with me, okay? I'm not the right person, because if you start bringing up text that was written 100,000 million years ago, I'll tell you, I wasn't there, so I don't know. You know, I didn't interpret it straight from the bush. I don't know that particular situation. But I'm going to be safe. I remember the first person that introduced safety to me was Talib, when he was old enough to know about Santa Claus. And so he knows that there's no Santa, no fat white dude is coming to bring you presents, okay? So he still writes this letter. And I'm like, dude, what's the letter thing about? I thought we already talked about this. He said, just to be sure. I said, just to be sure. He said, yeah. He said, because I've been writing letters all my life, and I've gotten everything I've wanted off my letter. So just to be sure, whether you call it Santa Claus, the universe, or whatever you want to call it, I'm going to just go ahead and write this letter, because this is how it works. I said, oh, okay, fine. I can't argue with you. I can't argue with good logic. You know, he's created a ritual. And for, I'm telling you, this child gets what he wants every day, all day, and it's not me. I am not the one. He is commanding the universe to do these things for him. So he was like, I'm not going to rock what I know is working for me. So he has his own little sets of principles and ideas and everything else like that. You know, we have to start getting our principles in place and start saying, how we're going to be obedient. And what does our obedience look like? I know many a scholar, and they're scholarly because in their mind, they know a lot. They know words. But their actions are not obedient to the very words they know. So that's where we have to start saying, okay, I'm going to be obedient to God. And I'll say, oh, that's wonderful. I'm always going to say that. But then the next question or set of questions is, What does that look like? What does it look like when you're being obedient? You know, because if it looks like this run of the mill, then I'm gonna suggest that you not do that. You know, if your obedience to God has you in some situations, I'm gonna tell you to let's look at some things. It could be your perception is off. It could be your prayer life is off. It could be something's off, you know. But usually when your prayer life is in tune with your spirit, we're not supposed to have challenges beyond our control, challenges beyond our comprehension, beyond our mental capacity to handle and everything else. If you've been doing devotions, you know your mental capacity can handle a lot. You know, a lot of this, all this pressure, all this weight, all this additional stuff going on is to show us what our mental capacity can hold and how when we're still maintaining our character and still being obedient, we can still manage, we can handle this load even better than if we were just la-di-da-di, if we just allowed it to blindside us, if we just fell down every time the wind blew, you know? So, Mama Khadijah, how have you seen people's obedience look when they're expressing it?
First of all, with an attitude of gratitude.
Okay.
I had a companion who always talked about enduring with the right spirit. So even
That's
if
right.
it's something that you're not necessarily comfortable with, or you feel like, man, why do I have to do this or whatever, if you can endure that situation with the right spirit, then it will carry you a lot further than kicking and screaming and complaining. Now, the rewards of obedience, and I think it's important to talk about rewards because we're kind of rewards, blessings, getting goodies oriented, you know,
yes,
as humans. And all animals are. The rewards of obedience is, you know, first and foremost, pleasing God. Good karma. When you start, you know, creating some really good karma for yourself. Receiving blessings and favor from God. And for some people, the promise of paradise or heaven. So those are the rewards of you know, obedience. Now, when you're not obedient, what's the downside of that? You know, what happens? What comes into your life? You know, just the opposite. You know, that bad karma is coming. Not having favors, not getting blessed. Confusion, all kinds of negativity. You know, of course, not the promise of paradise or heaven, but the promise of some other place. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture. So we have to constantly think about, even when it's difficult for us to think about, whether this is a situation where we choose, because we do have free will, to be obedient, what are the consequences? What are the consequences of my behavior, my thoughts, you know, my actions? What are the consequences if I'm not going to be obedient? And for some people, that's enough to kind of turn them around and have them rethink going down that negative path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I also want to inform people, this obedience thing is not just where people can see you. This obedience thing has to be a true part of you. So that means even if no one is watching, even when you may think it doesn't count, it doesn't count. She won't know. He won't know. You know, that's not how obedience is. Obedience is following, you know, following this divine instruction, and doesn't matter who knows. Doesn't matter if nobody ever knows. You know, God will always know, and you will know. And to me, it creates a weakness within the spirit, within your, you know, they call it weakness of the flesh. It's not just the flesh that gets weak. It's the spirit, the person, the mind, the everything becomes weak when you continuously are disobedient. It brings dis-ease to you, you know, and you are uncomfortable. You have shame, you have guilt, and that shame and guilt can pop up in the strangest of places. And so it's not, you know, disobedience is one of those things you really just don't want any part of. You know, not only do I want you to be obedient to God because I want you to get the reward, I also really don't want to see you have to deal with the punishments either. The punishments of it, and you don't know where or when that can pop up. So it's just best, write your Santa Claus letter. You know, it's just best to go ahead and comply. It, and see, the problem is, and I know this for a fact, everybody doesn't comply, okay? And in fact, very few people comply. So it's easy to turn around. I had a sister who used to tell me all the time, well, God's blessing them, and they doing X, Y, and Z. And my first comment was, okay, number one, mind your business. That's none of your concern over there. One. Two, it may look like that. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what God's doing over there. You know, this is why we have to focus on us. But, you know, we can look around and see, oh, this booty shaker, she getting this, and you know, that booty shaker, she seems to be getting that or the other. And, you know, I'm sitting here trying to keep my booty still, and I'm not getting what I want. Do not do that to yourself. So much of that is perception. So much of that is fake. It's not real. You have to deal with yourself. You have to deal with your own reality and not be concerned with what God is doing over there. God might be using you as an example for them, and you don't know it. So you're sitting there, arms crossed, feeling some sort of way, and God's in the middle about to use you to set good examples, you know. So, you know, you really, you know, we have to really, really focus on ourselves. Do not let this world confuse you as to what God is blessing. You know, God has written these. The blueprints that he has left for us, they're still intact. They still count. His word is not null and void. His word is actual, okay? So, you know, the things that he says are not permissible, they're just not permissible. And the things that are and that he likes and that he blesses, that has never gone out of style. So we have to really maintain ourselves in our own levels of obedience, because God will show us quickly what he meant by the word obedience, okay? And how, if you're off, he'll show you that too. But Mama Khadijah, we just going on and on. Let me see. What time is it? Lord, look at the time. I want to open up the phone line. Yeah. I want to open up the phone line because it's obedient, Keith. You can see it has me, because I'm like, God, I'm not only do I want to be obedient, I want to show you I'm obedient. So I want to open up the phone line. Press 1 if you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to explain that it's difficult, please. If you want to share some of your own personal techniques for how to deal with those types of situations, please do, okay? Knowing that the words you share, whether good or bad, might still help somebody as they're on that path right now. So all you got to do is press 1. That lets me know you want to speak. And we need to talk about this, family. We need to get this in good. Mom Khadijah, I got a caller that wants to speak, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, okay?
That sounds good to me.
Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Melissa. How are you?
Greetings, Sister Melissa. How
are you? Greetings, Melissa. I am good.
I just gotta say, you all always touch on something, and so I just want to share a little bit. Earlier, I think it was Sister Seven has said that when you're trying to make sure you're doing God's will and you're being obedient, that the negativity is going to try you. I believe that's what she said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And my devotion, my fast is a little different than other folks. It's more like adopting good habits and getting rid of some bad habits. That's literally what I'm doing, and it's an all-day thing. So I'm slipping. I'm not perfect. It's happening, but I am really trying. I have really bad road rage, like really bad. I think I told you that before. And today, like of all the days, today, I was in almost two accidents, and I'm a really good driver. The first one, I'm driving, making a left-hand turn. There's no stop sign. The guy at the stop sign decides he wants to come when I'm going and basically misses me by like 2 feet. And I was proud of myself. I didn't curse at him. I didn't act a fool. I said, thank you, God. And I kept it moving. I was a little angry on the inside. I'm not going to lie. I was angry on the inside because every time something like that happens, I feel like I'm about to die. But I said, thank you, God, and I was happy. I mean, you know, I kept it moving. Then on the way home, I mean, I'm good. I'm going up the street. I got my top down. This is a beautiful day. The clouds are gone away. I'm like, yes. And somebody comes from the opposite side on the, taking a left-hand turn against these left-hand turns, come over the median, come straight into my lane. I'm in the right lane. And if I had to swerve, I didn't hit the curb because, like, I'm a good driver, but I could have hit the curb. I could have hit the back of the back quarter panel, but it stopped. And I'm not going to lie, I lost it. I'm cussing them out. I'm beeping the horn because that was closer. That must have been like a good foot. I missed their car by like a foot. And then I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. So it came back, but I lost it for a good whole minute. I'm not going to front. I lost it. So when she said that today, I was all like, okay, so maybe that's a negativity testing me, and they got me. It got me. I got God. I'm not going to lie. I got, but I apologize for that. But part of my good habits I'm trying to pick up is, like Mama Khadijah says, some people want to eat and just get into the food. I'm one of them people. I don't get into the food because I don't feel like I'm just hungry. I just know that a lot of the foods that we eat are not really what God wants us to eat. Like, they're all processed and they're this and they're that. And I'm all like, this ain't what God wants us to eat. So one of the habits I'm trying to do is to pray over my food. So I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'm mid-chew, and I'm like, oh, God, forgive me for that, and then I'll pray over it. So I'm getting better. I'm not there, but I'm getting better. And I also started to memorize, and y'all probably going to laugh because I remember I'm still a baby in this. I didn't have that kind of church upbringing. I am memorizing Psalms 23. I'm getting it. I feel good about it. The Lord's Prayer, like, those are my prayers I'm running to, making sure I memorize them, making sure I say them daily, plus other things. So those are the good habits I'm getting into. The other one I want to tell y'all was, I am telling God, not asking, but I'm telling God, I'm saying, Father God, Mother Goddess, I am here to do your will. My body is your vessel. And I am trying to do the best I can to be obedient on that level. And I had walked in about a week or so ago, I had walked in on an argument between my sister's fiance and her grandson, my great nephew. And I'm not a fan of children. I'm not gonna have kids. Don't want to. But that boy has always made me feel what most women feel when they see a kid. So that feeling y'all get when y'all see like a young person doing the right things, that's the feeling I get for him. So we're a little protective over that one. When I walked in on that argument, I didn't jump on anybody's side. And I got yelled at because the person who was, you know, doing most of the yelling came directly to my face yelling. I think he thought he was talking to me, but he was yelling at me. And I matched him. I'm not going to lie. I matched him right with his yelling. And then he swore to me, and I swore right back to him, and I'm trying not to swear. That's part of my fasting. I'm trying not to swear.
Right.
So as soon as it came out my mouth, I said, oh, wait a minute. I'm fasting. I can't be cursing. I'm trying to get closer to God, and you got me out here messing up. Then he said, well, I'm trying to get closer to God. I said, well, what you're doing is not godly. What you need to do is go over in that corner and breathe. And that's how I addressed it. I didn't say anybody was right or wrong. I just said, you need to be in that corner and breathe and calm down and just get away from the situation and leave it alone and be quiet. But we were arguing because, again, he was yelling at me. But that's how I handled it. And I was kind of proud of myself for handling it that way as well.
I'm super proud. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And so I'm feeling like there's some changes that's going on. I don't know, you know, what, when, how, and all that. But I am feeling like I'm taking care of myself better. I'm approaching situations better. So I feel like I am somewhat, shape, or form being obedient, even though I know I got a long way to go. And I know I am blessed, and I know God saved me from both of those accidents today. And I know God's done some other stuff. Like, I was literally just sitting back and trying to watch God do some stuff. So I just want to say that just by doing, you know, being part of this and taking this seriously as I can for where I am in my life, I can see obedience and I can see blessings, favor. I see it even in lessons. I see the blessings. So I just wanted to share that with you. That was all. You guys always touch on something that resonates with me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in.
You said a mouthful.
Yes,
that
sister.
Testimony.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That was testimony. That,
yes.
And I'm going to call it
and that's what we needed.
That was a testimony.
That's what we needed. That's what we needed. And, you know, I'm sitting here with goosebumps because this is exactly what that fast is supposed to do. This is exactly what it's supposed to do. When you put the energy in, you're going to learn. You're going to find new ways to deal with situations. You're going to have that. And I love it. She's in the middle of argument. I'm trying to get closer to God. Okay? Partner, I'm trying to get closer to God. Okay, well, then this is not going to get either one of us closer to God. Let's rethink this. I'm not sitting here like, what a beautiful argument. Okay. What a beautiful argument. How wonderful. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, there's some changes.
Yeah.
There's some changes right there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love it. Yeah. That is 100% everything that me and Mama Peach were trying to say. That is everything right there. And, you know, one thing she said with everything that she said, I like the fact she was like, I'm not perfect yet. Sweetheart, none of us are. None of us are. None of us are at perfect. You know, and I've been doing this for decades, and I still am not perfect. I think, Mama Khadijah, you've been doing this a decade longer than I have. Maybe 15 years longer than I have.
A couple of decades.
And... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And yours is still isn't perfect. This is something we all are striving for. And everybody's fast is different because everybody has different challenges. You know, like I said, for me, I don't smoke anything. Smoking is not a problem. But every day I'd be putting that cheese on poor little Talib stuff. I'd be like, well, what if I just lick the cheese? You know, that doesn't count. No, it counts. Don't eat the cheese. So... You know, everyone has their own little thing. You know, I was like, well, I'm kind of stressed out. Maybe I just need a little soda. Talib went to the store, didn't have no soda. I said, now, come on, Talib, didn't have no soda? No, don't have no soda. So I'm up here drinking juice like it's soda, and I'm using my imagination. I'm trying to keep my gratitude high because it's wet and cold, but, it's not bubbly. But, you know, we are all – still actively working on ourselves, actively working on trying to improve and everything else like that. And this is, you know, again, another part of being human is, you know, this is part of the process. Nothing to be worried about.
That's right.
Be overly concerned. it's part of the process. If you have a bad day, recognize where you can do better, and then go do better. It's not, you know, something to even to worry about or to fret about. Just spend the time. Just be committed to yourself and be committed to the process.
And
you know,
it is a process.
Yes, ma'am.
At the end of this time,
yes, ma'am.
Those good habits that we are working to incorporate more into our lives should not
mm-hmm.
slack off after, you know, if we're fasting from, you know, using bad language, hey,
mm-hmm.
after this
mm-hmm.
fast, we still need to not use the bad language. You know, if
yes.
we're trying to incorporate prayer into our lives, we need to continue after this fasting time to pray
yes.
more often, you know. So the bad things, let's keep them away, you know. It's just like when people go on all these diets. They go on these diets,
yes.
they lose weight, they gain it back, And then you come up with this lifestyle change, which is
right.
not a diet. It's a lifestyle change. Okay, you should not be eating the white sugar. So
yes.
even after you lose weight, don't go back
right.
to eating the white sugar. You
That's
know,
right.
there are things that we really have to incorporate and or things that we have to take out of our daily life that after this fasting time, we should keep that up because
That's
it's
right.
all a part of the process of, you know, honoring our temple, doing the right thing, being obedient. You know, it's all a part of that process. Which means that it's not going to start. It may start now, but it doesn't have to end after the 30 days is up. And it really
That's right.
should.
That's right.
So,
you know, I.
Yeah. Keep up.
One thing. Perfect. Yes, yes, please. And I love to hear the updates, too. I love the updates. You're doing good? Call me. You're not doing good? Call me. We're going to talk about it, you know, because I want to be part of the process. But one thing that – not one thing. Like I said, so many things. One thing that Melissa said is she wants to be used in a divine manner. So she knows she has to take care of her divine self. You know, so you can't – I remember when I was right about to turn 40, I said, wait a minute. My temple – does not reflect my spirit. My spirit is so strong. It is vibrant. It is light. It is all of these beautiful, positive things. And I did not feel as if my temple, my body, properly held my spirit. And I decided to make some changes, and I did. And I watched what I ate, and I went to the gym just about every day, and I really, really was determined to do better for my temple to benefit my spirit, because your spirit housed in a poor temple is not going to produce a strong spirit. I can tell you for a fact that it won't. We have to learn to start taking care of our temples like we take care of our spirits. And if you got your temple on good and straight, that's wonderful. Are you taking care of your spirit in that same manner? You know, there are people that go to the gym and they're working this out and working that out. And this day is it's abs, and next day is cardio. And, you know, people have this routine for their bodies, but they won't have anything for their spirit. So we have to understand that our spirit and our temples are connected. They are together, not the same, but together. And so we have to take the time to really take care of them. And so when she was speaking, I was like, wait a minute, I am doing more for my temple, but not enough, not like I do my spirit, you know. And then I remember when we started talking, doing all the prepping shows, and we started talking about eating more natural foods, and I got my beans good, I got my rice good, you know, I'm eating vegetables at the vegetable stand. I'm really, really trying, okay? And so, you know, I just want to, as we're being obedient to God, I also want to remind ourselves, being obedient also means taking care of the things we know we're supposed to. You know, you got to take care of that temple. You know, this is housing our own spirit. So, you know, if you had the opportunity to clean a church, to take care of a church, to take care of a place that you knew God was going to visit, you would do an immaculate job. You would make sure you could eat off that floor. The pews would be perfect and straight. Everything would be in order. I'm asking you, are you doing the same for your temples? Because this is a place that God should be able to visit. This is a place that we need to make sure that it's clean, that it's strong, that it's properly nourished, that you're getting enough sleep, that we're getting enough water. You know, some very basic things. So we have to make sure, as we're preparing ourselves to be used by God, that we're giving him some good, like he gives us good tools to work with. I mean, you can't be jamming up when it comes to certain tools, okay? But we have to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to have a good place for God to use. We have to make sure that temple is strong. So I think, you know, we're talking about obedience, but that's kind of like an implied obedience, Mama Khadijah. What do you think about that temple usage?
Oh, they're definitely interdependent. I lost a very close friend of mine 2 years ago, and all she talked about in her last days is that, you know, I've got to get, when I say last days, I mean the last couple years, I've got to get this body strong so that I can do, you know, God's work. I got to get this body strong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she fought a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly, we, the body and the spirit, like you said, they are housed in the same container or body, but they're not
the
same. And you have to work with both them. You have to work on the physical as well as the spirit. And, you know, there's no way around it. And most of us are more consumed with the outer body than the spirit. And I guess that's because, you know, we look and we see the outer body, you know.
Okay.
We can dress up the outer body with clothing and with jewelry and, you know, whatever. We can dress it up, we can clean it up, we can make it smell, all like that. But what people don't realize is that that spirit, for those who can see, is just as visible. Just as visible. And I've met quite a few people that have a very beautiful exterior, but that spirit stinks. Spirit stinks.
Yes.
So
we
have to take care of both. We have to take care of both. We have to tend to the needs of the body well as the spirit. And that creates a balance. That creates a harmony. That creates inner harmony and inner peace. Because when that spirit and body are out of alignment, there is no peace.
Nope.
It may look peaceful, look pretty on the outside, but there is no peace.
Mm-hmm. Very, very important. Very important. And, and that physical, the temple, because we can see it, doesn't mean that that's the only thing that needs to be nurtured. That's the only thing that needs to be watered. That's the, you know, it really is not the only thing. It's a piece of, it's an outer shell. It's an outer shell. So,
yeah.
So that's very important. You know, we can't talk about, we're talking about obedience to God, and we all understand our own personal obediences that we have to have. But I don't think we can, to end the show, we can't finish up the show without talking about some general obediences that we have. Like, I believe taking care of Mother Nature, taking care of the earth, is an obedience to God. I believe that's part of what all humans are supposed to do. Therefore, that's an obedience. I believe that all humans are charged with taking care of each other. You know, there's a certain level of humanity that God speaks of that we're supposed to have even with each other. So that's another obedience. You know, when we're thinking about God's rules, laws, and principles that he has for us, you know, there's some very general ones out there that no matter where you came from or what religious understanding you come from, these are basics that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be caring for the earth. We're supposed to be caring for each other. We're held accountable for our thoughts and actions, and how do you be obedient in the middle of that?
And I know, want to add for the parents out. Yeah, I want to add, you know, for the parents out there, you know, once you have a child, once, you know, God has entrusted a baby to you, a child to you, being obedient is taking care of that child. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, the elders that are being shoved away in nursing homes and, you know, left neglected during their final years, we have an obligation and a responsibility, and I feel that it's being obedient to stop what you're doing and take care of grandmama. Take care of mama when she gets up there in age, you know. Call and in on the elders in your community or whatever. And
absolutely.
A lot of times we don't do that.
Absolutely.
So that's all a part of being a doctor.
I completely agree. I completely agree. There are some very basic tenets that we're supposed to be staying in contact with and supposed to be fulfilling, and we don't. And we don't because we allow ourselves to get busy. Boy, if I could sit down and write down everything that we have, that I think one person with 10 fingers and 10 toes, I've counted them. All the things I think I'm supposed to be doing, it's so easy. It would be easy to forget to come home. It would be that easy. There's that much work to be done. I could stay up all night, and in the morning I would still have stuff to do. Or is that a perception? Is that a thought? Is that something that is my ego is running on? Is that something that this world is trying to distract me from a true godly understanding or purpose? You know, so we have to stop and think about, you know, is this real? Am I really that busy? Am I really, you know, that overwhelmed with the work? No, no one's that busy. No one's that busy. And if you want to test God, what you can do is think you're that busy and watch him clear your plate, okay? I don't want God to clear my plate. I don't. So I'm going to just do what I need to do. Because when he clears the plate, it's like, take the plate away. Take the whole plate. He didn't just take away the Brussels sprouts, because I don't want the Brussels sprouts. He can have those Brussels sprouts, but he's not going to take away the Brussels sprouts. The whole plate will be gone like it was never there. So if you ever think that you're too busy to be making those prayers in the morning, are you too busy to be checking in on elders, or too busy for X, Y, and Z, don't let God clear your plate. Trust me. Go ahead. Stop what you're doing. Reprioritize your life. Because chances are, if you're that busy, doing stuff for other people and other beings and other work, not yourself, not your business, not your self-care. You're busy doing stuff for other people. That's never going to be successful. Never. So
part of your obedience is really look at, you know, the things that you say you're too busy for, the things that you may be creating excuses. Oh, I can't get to the gym. And I bet you could if your plate was clear. So before, you know, God comes in to rescue you from yourself, start to make some changes and adjustments. Well, I mean, that's what it is. Okay? You're getting rescued from your own self.
Uh-huh.
You created this.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Before you go there, try to start doing some of those things yourself so that God doesn't have to take the whole plate. You know, start making some of those changes for yourself so that you can show your obedience. To me, that's real obedience. When you can sit back and say, God, I understand that this is important, so I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to make sure that this gets done, because I'm not going to have you reminding me, because when I need something, God, I don't want to have to be reminding you, you know. So I try to explain to people, you know, oh, well, I'll do it later. Okay. Just as long as you don't mind God saving you from the lion later, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well, wait a minute. Okay. You know, sometimes we give to God things that we wouldn't accept from our neighbors, but we make that an offering unto God. That's not good. So we need to get back into the habit of doing and treating God with the same high priority that we would like. Because when we're making prayers, we're one out of a million, billion things, beings, creatures, spirits. We're so small, but yet we still want to be heard. So when it comes time for us to do what we're supposed to do, make sure you're doing it like you really want God to hear you, like it's really worth Him listening to you out of all of these other beings in the world. So, you know, be intentional with your work. Mom, please, what were you saying?
I said amen. Amen.
Oh, okay. Cool. Awesome. So as we are wrapping up, and I can't, Spirit must have had me this particular show, because it says, my clock says that it's 9:12 and we got like a couple minutes left in the show, because I swear we just started this. But Mama Khadija, if you could leave the people, you know, with the word, I'm going to leave people with the word, but what would you leave them with as we're talking about obedience to God? What do you want them to remember?
I just want to summarize the rewards, because I know that we're motivated by rewards, you know, pleasing God when we are obedient, know that that is mm-hmm. pleasing to Him. We are setting up good karma. We are setting ourselves up for favor and blessings. And we are also setting ourselves up to reap the reward of the promise of paradise or heaven. Don't mm-hmm. let the disobedience bring down those consequences that will be life-changing, life-altering, because a lot of times they are. Don't wait and continue with your disobedience until mm-hmm. you have consequences that are way over the top. And don't minimize the consequences. Look
yeah.
at those four things that are out, you know, the pleasing of your Lord, good karma, the blessings, the favor, and the promise of heaven and paradise. And
mm-hmm.
I think that if we can stop in the midst of making using that free will that we have and making the decision to be obedient, we'll be a lot better off for it. Our life would go a lot smoother, would be a lot more pleasant and joyful. And basically, that's just about it. I want us to think about, you know, the rewards and the consequences of
mm-hmm.
our behavior. our behavior of obedience.
Awesome. I know for me, if I could leave two words with people, it would be, you never really know who is learning from you. We are always teaching and learning things ourselves. And your job might be to show someone else how to be graceful in the middle of this storm. So don't kick and fuss and don't go through all that. Really allow yourself to be obedient to God's word once you know what it is. Once you're very clear about what you're supposed to be doing, then be obedient to it, because you never know if someone is going to be learning from your lesson. There are some lessons that I have learned that I know were not for me. There are things that I know that have nothing to do with me. I'm going to take this information and I'm going to give it to whoever it belongs to. When God said give it, but it's not me. So you never know who you're going to be inspiring. It may be something that at work, it may be something with peers, whatever. So I just want to encourage you, you know, when you're being obedient, think past this very moment. You know, think past, you know, how you personally feel. Do it the right way, at the right reason, the right season. Do it the right way, because you never know. We don't know what God's reward is, and we don't know who is going to benefit from us doing it the right way. So those are the words I want to leave. Today's prayer is an ancestral prayer. It's in our little book devotions. It's on day 13. This book has 30 prayers in it, okay? It starts off with the chakras. It ends with the commitment to peace. And in between, there are some really awesome prayers in the middle of it. And at the back, there's some details as to where the prayers came from, you know, their original contacts. You can always ask me as well. But this is a libation. And being an ancestral person, when you're talking about obedience to God, our ancestors, they went through some incredible tests and trials and tribulations, all in their desire to be, in their own mind, their own understanding, obedient to God. They made ultimate sacrifices. They made some incredible, humane decisions that I don't even know if they can do that anymore. You know, I don't even know if humanity can handle that. You know, I know that they made sacrifices for me that I'm so thankful and grateful for, because I don't even know if I got heart like that, okay? So I'm not at all surprised that when we're talking about obedience, that the prayer for the evening pop up in ancestral prayer. So everybody, you know, if you go into your devotions book, it's right there, and it's a libation. I think Mama Khadija did a libation on air that I keep referring everybody back to, because I was like, it was such a wonderful libation, and it's one that I learned, and it's got taken me far. So, but this is this ancestral libation. To all of our ancestors of antiquity, who developed great knowledge and gave humanity to the world, your will to be lives in me. To all our ancestors who were fortunate to be buried on the soil of our motherland, your will to be lives in me. To all our ancestors who were lost and killed during the voyage of the Middle Passage, your will to be lives in me. To all our ancestors who suffered the cruelty of oppression throughout the world, your will to be lives in me. We say thank you, great ancestors, for the precious gift of your blood, sweat, and tears who fought for freedom, justice, and equality. Your will to be lives in me. I promise, as a defendant and benefactor of your life, to uphold truth without fear and to never forget you in your sacrifice, as I teach myself and my children to honor and respect you, to our ancestors in your honor. I promise to assume the responsibility in continuing on a path of progress to build upon the foundation you have laid before me, to our ancestors in your honor. I promise to remove the fear, ignorance, shame, and self-hatred of my history and reclaim my cultural heritage and consciousness of spiritual oneness to our ancestors in your honor. I promise to continue to build a new world for and with our children based on positive principles and values to our ancestors in your honor. Ancestors, we praise and honor you. May your spirit be filled with light and progress, and may the light guide us through the fear and ignorance of our day. Amen.
Amen.
Peace, everyone.